8:07 on a Wednesday morning. That means we have to check in with County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Ready for another day of rain. That's okay.
That's right. We had a little bit yesterday evening, depending on where you were. How was it on your side of town after about 6 o'clock?
Oh, we had a lot of rain yesterday. A lot of rain.
South side, we had a bunch of grumbles and a bunch of lightning. It rained for a little bit, but we didn't get anything soaked. So I guess we got the southern edge of all that as it moved through. So flowers are growing, plants are blooming, everything. The great news about today, Marty, simply it's not going to be 90 degrees. That makes me happy.
Well, that's what's making me really happy, because when it gets up there in the 90s, it's really hard to go out there and do anything.
Absolutely.
And I always think about our highway workers and all the people who are out there, you know, doing public service in this kind of heat. So
we talked about that yesterday with Adam Wason, and I don't know if we'll ever know the answer. I think the money that the county and the city put up, and the city of Bloomington Utilities, to bonus to get the Country Club Bridge done. But I think maybe these guys looked at the forecast and said, you know what? If June is like this, I can only imagine what July is going to be. We know they didn't kick it up an extra gear, but it's great to see that project is finished.
Oh, there's so much celebration going on about that. And you know that bridge, when they started taking it apart, they sent pictures, and that was really dangerous. It had to happen. It couldn't have been put off. There was no more patching of it. It had to be fixed. And so,
was that just found on a routine inspection, Marty, or how did we come across all this?
I just remember seeing the pictures of it, and of course they do routine inspections, and were required to. But this particular, I think that they saw that there was like this, remember the pictures where they're literally, you could see through the pavement and see the hole, and then they start taking it apart, and oh, wow. So kudos to our team that said, okay, we're going to get this done. It's going to be inconvenient for a lot of people, but not nearly as inconvenient as a bridge falling in. You know, that's just all there is to it. And of course, we've got great people there with the highway department and the engineers that look at these things to say, okay, it's now time. And so we'd been looking at this for more than, been on a list for, I believe they said more than 5 years, because we keep a list of all the bridges of and when the last time it was inspected or the dollar amount it's going to take to fix it, and it's all a part of a budget that they just continue to look at and see which one of these things can we help with. And, of course, the money that the county received in that income tax special allotment, what was that, a year ago, we were able to put back and use it for matching money, because the state kicked in $400,000 for this bridge. And there was a $400,000 local match, so I'm wondering if it probably did come from that special income tax. But, you know, the county is responsible for all the bridges. Doesn't matter if it's in the city or out of the city, the county pays for all of the bridges. And so we couldn't do it if we didn't judiciously use our dollars by using it to pull in those match dollars from the federal and state grants. I learned so much when I went to Purdue Road School for all those years ago. I went many, many years in a row, and there's a lot you learn. And one of the things you learn is to get all your engineering done on these projects in advance, so that if any time there's any money that loosens up any place where somebody else didn't use it, you're prepared to go after it.
Well, I think that's the system where people don't understand, and I thought Adam Wason, the director of public works from the city, did a great job explaining that yesterday.
He was great. I loved it.
Because I think people just get frustrated and say, well, the bridge is broken, just go fix it. What are you waiting 5 years for? Well, it just doesn't work that way.
Right. I mean, we have a lot of bridges and so forth. Now, the other thing that we did this year, and everybody's paying an additional tax for it, is that major bridge fund, because we have, I think it was like 7 major bridges that's either already built or in the process of being built And that is what I was like there at the Fullerton X, I believe. But those things, that's like those bridges that are more than 200 feet in length. And that's a very expensive proposition. So we're trying to have that bridge fund so that it can be building up money in, you know, for repair or replacement or put toward whatever we have to do for these larger bridges. You know, when you live in a beautiful county like Monroe County, where there's hills and dales to traverse
and
across there, you're going to have some bridges.
Oh, there's no doubt. And now when you have an interstate going through it, you have to have some bridges as well. That's part of that.
Right.
So now
right.
that those bridges that are brand new that we've built because the interstate is moving through, we will add those to the list. Now, hopefully we don't have to mess with those for 30, 40, 50, whatever years. But now that adds to more of that stuff. And quickly on a travel topic, we want to remind people as well, bridge topic, and not the card game either. The travel across the 3rd Street Bridge will be restricted to one lane eastbound and one lane westbound, and that's going to continue through till we get the work done over there. So that's the 3rd Street Bridge will be restricted to one lane eastbound and one lane westbound. Crews need additional workspace to safely pave the multi-use path, remove and reconstruct curbs, install overhead lighting, and construct ADA-compliant ramps. The one-lane configuration will take place. It started yesterday and will run through Saturday. If the needed work isn't completed this week, the same restriction will be in place next week. Now, on top of that, Marty, here's some good news. At 4 o'clock coming up this Saturday, the 2nd Street Bridge will be open to four lanes of traffic, two eastbound and two westbound, to accommodate traffic to and from the Monroe County Fair. Four-lane traffic on 2nd Street will be in place through Saturday, July 7th. Please stay off 3rd Street if you can. Use other east-west routes so that those construction crews can get things done. So we've got so many cooks in the kitchen. It's great to see some of these projects getting some relief.
But it makes you want to be able to jump on top of that drone that Jeff McKim has, and we can just fly across all of this. I love the fact that he has that drone, and we can just see what's going on. I really think that
it's not feel. It's really a real time of what's happening instead of people just saying, oh, I sat there for 54 minutes. Well, the drone will show you exactly how long that happens.
Right. And so I'm beginning to think that this would be a very good thing for communities to have, to be able to keep people up to date. It's wonderful that Jeff McKim has this kind of passion for it, but it really is a helpful tool. And
all the analytics that they can count, if it's traffic count or whatever it is, it's just the more information you have, the better, more informed decisions you can make.
It sure is. The other thing that I heard Adam speak about, public works, I've got public safety on the mind, was having to do with recycling, et cetera. I'm just as bad as the news is, I am just grateful to hear that yes, people are coming together and getting the news. We've only had it for years. How many studies do we have to do? That trying to have a recycling center here is just not something this county is going to do for who knows how long.
Well, having a recycling center that is not going to run you bankrupt, that's the thing.
Well,
you can have a recycling center.
Well,
that's the point that Adam made yesterday, talking about all, and you've made this point as well, you have to have six surrounding counties plus Indiana University plus to make this work, and that's where it's at.
And you still don't know that it would work. And in the meantime, do we really want to be the county that brings in the trash from all the other counties, and then we will be the collector of all everybody's trash?
Well, Marty, the other thing is, I think we can feel thankful that this was discussed, drawn out, and didn't happen, because Adam told us yesterday the markets on plastic have bottomed out. If we would have built this 3 or 4 years ago, could you imagine what would be happening now?
Oh, right. You know, I complained a lot about that building sitting on the ground that the director at the time had ordered that building but didn't get the price of what it was going to cost to to move forward with it. And so the building component was, last I heard, still laying there on the ground. But maybe we should just be glad that thing didn't get built. Now, remember, what that was going to do was go out into the other county areas and pull from where it had already been deposited of the recycling and bring it there to that facility and then move it off to another facility. I never understood exactly how that was going to help anything, you know, but time to count all that movement back and forth, and we were going to have to buy extra trucks and hire more people. But regardless, that didn't move forward. We paid somebody once again, this, you know, in the recent past, to come and tell us this doesn't work. We already knew it wouldn't work. But see, here's what happens. You have different elected officials that come on board, and they weren't a part of hearing it and living through it before. And of course, everybody wants to believe it could happen. And so they just keep thinking there surely has got to be a way. But it's clear, in order to make this to not even just so to make a profit, let's just see break even. You've got to have a whole lot more than just Monroe County's trash. And you've got to pull in a lot of trash to be able to pull out recycling.
Well, and the other part
and like Adam said, it doesn't take much to ruin a whole batch. Just put in one little bad thing in with it and throw the whole thing out.
And as Adam also mentioned, and that's saying that no other entities would compete with you for that business.
Right.
if we have
private sector who really wants to do this and can make it work, why do we think we can do it better? But whatever, I'm not you know, the expert on it. I just remember looking at the budgets and going, this doesn't work. But now they are moving forward with continue on with the study about having a composting recycling facility. Now, people didn't want trash next to their house. I bet you they're not going to want this composting next.
Well, that's all of a sudden turned into a busy area over there. There's some housing that's wanting to go in right up the block from there as well. So that neighborhood's been exciting here lately.
There's lots and lots of things going on. But let's go to another bit of good news. That we want to wish Jerry Sanders, who's the new interim superintendent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over at the Richland Bean Blossom Community School. We know that we have a great school over there. We really do. I mean, we're A schools. I loved hearing Sherry Dunbar Cruzan speak about just on your show just a minute ago.
Yeah, with Joe's Report, right?
How wonderful it was to have the opportunity there in the Richland Bean Blossom School District and what her experiences were there. And that you hear that from so many people. I know both of my daughters grew up in that school system, and they really believe that they really, had a great opportunity there. So I'm just hoping that this will be a very, very successful time of search and smooth sailing for the people there, because we have a lot of great teachers and some beautiful young students who need all the positive thoughts around them so they can be successful. So I did want to put that in there, because I know our teachers and our administrators really want to do the best for Monroe County.
Yeah, it's a tough time as well, because obviously Steinsville is that's going to close down as well. So you have that transition that goes along with that. You need strong leadership during that time, and Jerry will provide that. I agree.
But at the same time, I wanted to go on to say that I noticed that they did have that special public safety local income tax committee meeting that was like, so many from the county, so many from the city.
All right, let's hear it.
One from Ellisville. And, of course, the city's totally in control of the whole thing. So I've said many times, I think that's, for the fire departments to come and ask for dollars when it's clear the city the city didn't want to hand out dollars out to the other volunteer fire departments. It just and then say, well, you know, the committee decided. Well, no, it's still the city deciding. So, well, we'll see how that works. But what we did here was, of course, the revenue is going up tremendously for income tax, as it has right now. It's being presented that it's going to be going up for next year. And but the letter that was sent out was saying, well, but remember that budget for those radios and, you know, of course, the extra dispatch people that they hired would really cover more than 1 year. Radio project was supposed to be for 2 years. And so it doesn't look to me like that there's going to be any movement toward the volunteer fire departments other fire departments throughout the county receiving any of those dollars. But we'll see what the decision is. But one of the questions that was asked was, of the fire departments, what are you doing to combine your efforts or work together with others? And to that end, I made some phone calls, and I understand that the message went out to all the different fire departments in the county, went out from the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department, inviting them all to come and join with the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department. And that, I think, just went out just yesterday. So it would be interesting to see, while everybody's playing musical chairs, where everybody's going to land. You know, I've been talking to you quite some time now that our fire prevention is never going to get cheaper.
It's
going to be very expensive. And I think there's people at the city who'd like for us to all just be under the city. There's other people.
What is the advantage to being just underneath the city, so you don't have to pass out these revenue dollars, so it's easier? Why is that? I'm not familiar.
Well, I mean, there's lots of different things you might say, but you know, if someone wants to have a bigger department, then, you know, I mean, if the city wants to be in charge of it all, then they would want to have their own fire department. On the other hand, how do you, if you live way out in the hinterlands, are you going to be a priority? Those are the questions that people will want to have answered, and in addition to which, we have a lot of commitment to our local fire departments, the Ellsworth Fire Department, the Van Buren Fire Department, the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department. Now, Van Buren has already made a commitment, I believe, they'd at least discussed it, to go in with Perry Clear Creek. Salt Creek is working with Perry Clear Creek, and so is Indian Creek, whether it's through contract or in some other method. I believe those folks are working together, or at least plan to be working together. So then the question will be, with Washington Township and Bloomington Township not moving forward with that fire station as they had originally discussed, which had, you know, had everybody so upset about their tax rates, and whether everybody's just going to take some time to just figure out some other way for them to provide these services, or will they want to join in with others? In other words, we have this game of musical chairs that's a pretty serious game going on right now, and we'll just have to wait and see how it all ends up, because we just simply won't know. The other thing, very quickly, I wanted to share with you is that going by what our auditor sent out, and she made it clear that to us that this is in no way, we can't really rely on this as yet, because it's difficult to see about the numbers coming back from the state as to just what the eventual numbers will be. But for the 4 months that was turned in for February and March, and then it looks like as if there's some more late payments that was paid in for that next allotment, and then the next allotment, more additional late payments. So it's difficult to, but if you took the total of what's been received year to date and divide it by the number of months that it should have been covering, then and then you take that times 12, you come up with a little less than 2 million, which is not as much as what they had projected they were going to need. However, I really don't think these first few months are going to be something that we can really, you know, count on. But this is something that they are waiting on. Remember, they wanted to have a full year's of revenue before they could go out and sell the bonds for that, for the convention center. So I understand there's supposed to be a meeting of that commission. I think it was supposed to be on the 25th, so I'm very curious as to what's going to happen there. I have
Interesting.
To it. Yeah, right. So we'll just see. What I know they decided, well, the city, they're going to allocate so much of the money so far over to the city, 85%, the other to the county. And then when we get a true dollar amount, they can reconcile it and figure it out. But they're not allowed to spend any money out of that pot of money, no one is, until this commission comes together and say, this is how you can spend the money. So there's lots of things that we have to keep our eye on. And of course, right now we're headed to June 30th, and when you get to June 30th, then you can start your whole financial statement to start preparing for our budgets for next year. So it's a busy financial time, but you know what? Dollars and cents is something that we have to make county government work or any government entity to work, but it really is only the amount of services you're providing for the dollars you're getting. And so we have to always remember, it's not just the money, but what do we have to do with the money and how can we spread it around? And you know what? It is almost time to go, and we haven't talked about the TIF
or that
tax abatement.
Yeah, we can do that next time. That's not going.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that.
Not going anywhere. And don't forget, speaking of county, the county fair starts Saturday, June 30th as well, and runs through July 8th.
And anybody can enter things in. You don't have, as long as you live in Monroe County, you don't have to be a part of 4-H, although that's lovely. I love the 4-H projects. But if a citizen wants to enter their beautiful pot of flowers or their whatever they want to enter, they can do that as well. And so they could call the Monroe County Extension Office to get information on that.
Yeah, or go to monroecountyfairgrounds.in for all of your information on concerts and everything else, fair schedules, parking permits and passes, all that fun stuff. Marty, great job as always. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Thank you.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk joins us every Wednesday morning to get us caught up on what's happening in county government and what goes on with your tax dollars.